And welcome to the Niche Podcast about the one thing I know something about: game shows. I suppose I'm your host, Ron Haas. Patreon exclusives, episodes of all these podcasts. And this one is an all-time favorite panel quiz show. This is quite interesting. No, really, that's the name of the show. It's called Quite Interesting. Most people just call it QI. So there's a long story about QI, and I'm going to try and get as much information I can spilled out before I go to sleep, because it's nearly 2 a.m., yet I'm so energetic. So if you're wondering why I'm doing this episode right now, it's because it's a very boring episode on a very boring subject, and I just wanted to go to sleep. So this is going to be me talking nonstop for about 20 or 30 minutes, and then exhausting myself, and then saying goodnight. All right, so QI is called Quite Interesting. It's a BBC show, and it is one of the Hallmark panel game shows. Originally hosted by Stephen Fry, it is considered an all-time classic. The show debuted way back in the year 1990. I'm like, no, it's not. It's 2003. It was a 2003 show. So there's a long story about QI as a game show. Essentially, the derive of QI came from basic quiz games. So, if you don't know what a panel quiz show is, and you're American, odds are you don't, you only know things like Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, or At Midnight, where it's just comedians telling jokes and that's it. And that is essentially what most British panel shows are. It's fodder for a little information fact, and then stretched out for a comedy for about 45 minutes, and then they call it a day. A lot of game shows like are usually things like quote-unquote or just a minute are just based on clever and answering trivia questions, and it's supposed to be lighthearted and silly. In the guise of the 2000s, in the early 2000s, and even in the late 90s, a lot of panel game shows were basically about subjects, like a show all about cars, or a show all about science fiction movies, or a show, I can't believe, about celebrity gossip. I mean, come on, really? Movies, television shows. There's even a panel game show about music called Never Mind the Buzzcocks. Who would listen to that show? So, QI was basically meant to be a zag to everyone's zig at the time of a panel game show, because everything was so focused on telling jokes and being silly towards frivolous information. This was seen as the pub quiz from hell. That was the original delivery by one Stephen Fry. And it could be considered that as well, because the idea, the whole premise of QI is general ignorance is the name of the game. The things that we hear about in hindsight through history books, through geography, through like well wishes through the internet, and basically debunk them. This is basically if Adam Ruins Everything was a quiz show. There are four celebrities, all comedians most of the time, except for one Daniel Radcliffe, who was on one episode. So here is the basic premise of QI. Each episode, starting in season one, series one, which was all A's, and possibly concluding with series 26, which will all be Z, are all themed around one specific subject, like botany, chemistry, physics, botulism, bad boy, and all sorts of things. Like, you just got to go through the list. So in this hour of programming, all of the questions are themed around this subject matter. And it's all fascinating facts delivered to the panel. But the catch is, a lot of the time, it's not what you think. It is a trick question in this regard. There's no trick questions on QI. It's just trick answers. If someone's telling you, what is the biggest fish in the sea? Do not say blue whale. Because then you'll hear the famous klaxon noise. And lose a crap ton of points. This is a show not about getting answers right, but being the most interesting person in the room. That's right. This is a game show where it's okay to be wrong. It's just if you're wrong, and you can sell your answer. Because if you just say the obvious wrong answer, you lose points. If you say an obvious joke, you lose points. Basically, don't be obvious. It's all about being cunning and smart and clever and very, very intelligent. Which is really tough because this is, of course, QI. It is hosted originally by Stephen Fry. So Stephen Fry at the time was doing the Fry and Laurie show. He was basically, they split paths of Fry and Laurie. They were a comedy duo. Hugh Laurie would go on to do dramas. He played this guy named Dr. Gregory House. But Stephen Fry, being of most intelligence, his branding was, of course, being academic and literate based on his tone of voice and his sensibilities. You might hear his voice in a lot of things like Little Big Planet 3 or Harry Potter or the Harry Potter audiobooks or Harry Potter or this thing. But essentially, he is this voice of academic brilliance. He is supposed to be this dignified collegiate guy that makes you think you just walked out of Oxford. But, you know, we're watching a BBC game show. So I'm going to go list off a few fun facts that I read on the QI wiki. What could possibly go wrong? For instance, in the episode Idleness, a question came up of what was the nuclear code given every president during the time of nuclear war? And that's a tough question because, you know, everyone hears these certain things, but the code was 000. 0000008 zeros, because that was to make sure the president wouldn't forget it in a time of crisis, because it's just so easy to remember 8 zeros. How many arms does the Milky Way have? The answer is nobody knows, because no one has ever taken a photograph of it from the outside. The camera would have to travel hundreds of light years to get a shot. In an episode about intelligence, about job interviews, they only need to last about 12 seconds, as most of the time people decide on appearance alone whether or not to give someone a job. If an applicant does not impress their interview in some way within that time frame, they're unlikely to be considered. There are a number of questions that interviewers are not allowed to ask, including, are you originally from the UK, do you have children which will be needed to look after, and do you plan to have children in the future? Attempting to subvert any question about weakness by naming a strength, including, like, I'm a terrible perfectionist, is transparent and likely to be seen past. A more successful strategy is to reveal a weakness which you're actively trying to improve. And then there was another in the general ignorance round. If a British judge wants order in the court, what do they have to do? You wait, because that is a question, because obviously if you hear the question of British judge, order in the court, what do you think they're going to do? You think of that bang the gavel, right? No, that's the... because you'll lose 10 points. It's general ignorance. There is no gavels in British courtrooms. In fact, British judges don't have gavels. Only auctioneers do. The only time you see it is in movies, and that's because of American judges. And even then, that's rarely the case of how they bang a gavel to get attention. Usually they just kind of just say, please order into the court, in a calm, pressing manner. Huh. So, as each round, there is three comedians and one permanent permanent contestant by the name of Alan Davies. Alan Davies is essentially the second banana in the world of QI. If QI is Stephen Fry, Alan Davies is essentially supposed to be the idiot savant. Because Stephen is the smart one, and Alan's like a laid-back, cocky guy who's really stupid. And it's very funny to see him say things that everyone knows is what they assume the correct answer, only to lose so many points. Alan Davies, also a well-known comedian, mostly doing comedy back in 1994, I think. And he was just doing all sorts of different questions. And apparently, according to this special, in the 2020 episode of QI for Christmas, Alan Davies set a new Guinness World Record for most Christmas crackers pulled by an individual in 30 seconds, with 35 crackers pulled. No word on the Christmas crackers or any of that, but that's beside the point. So, now that I'm just explaining it, it's just a weird quiz game where nothing really matters, I gotta probably go through the rules and blah, blah, blah. So there are four contestants, one Alan Davies, and three rotating celebrity panelists. It's a British game show, so it's your run-of-the-mill comedians. So you're, what would be, like Bill Bailey, your Rob Beckett, Rob Brydon, Sandy Toksvig, but then Sandy becomes host. We're on that in a bit. So then they do a buzzer check based on the episode. All of the buzzers will have some special theme to it. For instance, if it was clocks, you'll hear different sounds, like an alarm clock going chiming. You'll hear a cuckoo. You'll hear a alarm, like a classic boop-a-boop, boop-a-boop. And then finally, you'll hear like a really annoying bong, 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 bong. And it just drowns out so long, and it's funny. The aim of the game is, of course, give the most clever answers and never be the most ignorant or obvious. Obviously, if you get the right answer, you get the most points, and that's the good thing. And it has happened a few times before. After about two-thirds of the way through the show, general ignorance will be played, and it's all hodgepodge about anything. So, for instance, what is George Washington's teeth made out of? You'll buzz in and say wood, and then you get the, I'm not even going to do the clacks anymore, you know, that the noise. Because his teeth were not made of wood, they were made out of bone and teeth, like any other dentures back in the day. So what makes this show interesting is the fact that even though there's a quiz game being played, none of that ever matters. The rules that I'm delivering right now are meaningless. They're completely inaccurate. There's different criteria. There's an algorithm. And I have been told if I actually try and figure out how this show works and how the scoring mechanism is actually played out, my brain will be blown out. And I do not want my brains to blow up. I just want to watch a fun quiz show, and that's in the form of QI. At the end of the show, they go by the scores. Typically, Alan gets last place, and one of the three gets first place. Everybody celebrates, and then we have a good night, and then we play the theme song. What I learned about QI is that just all of these facts and all of this research to go for a simple question is so fun. That's the appeal I have for QI, and that's essentially why I wanted to do this episode. Because, look, a panel game, a lot of the times the questions are given to the contestants ahead of time so they can banter and do some silly jokes, and just, you know, work their way through it so they can look funny. On QI, the contestants don't get advanced knowledge. And then the klaxon will appear, except for one person, according to Stephen Fry. Because the idea is it's a quiz. So everyone's supposed to be playing legitimate. And the idea of QI is that the quiz really doesn't come second. The idea is supposed to be almost like in a few Japanese factual game shows. It's less about being right and more about seeing a fact that is fascinating and then that aha moment within the panel. Because that is the appeal of QI. It's that I never thought of it that way. Wow. That era of wisdom and that knowledge cluster that comes with it. So a QI question is really, really silly. Maybe silly is not the best word, but we'll go sly. A little trickery, but something that sounds very smart. And this question has been well researched. How well researched? There's a whole group of people called the QI Elves who spend their entire time researching facts, interesting activities to make for questions in the future. But not only that, they research almost every possible wrong answer in the book. Because whatever's the most obvious being said will get the klaxon noise. And then Stephen or Sandy will explain why that's wrong. And already have a whole essay devoted to why that's wrong. And then if it's something even obscure or weird that wouldn't actually fit, they also have like a set paragraph. For as somebody says, the first president to live in the White House was Jimmy Carter. Well, no, Jimmy Carter did not be the first to live in the White House. However, he was the first to actually have working rotating plumbing. And also the thing that is the first to actually have a fax machine in the... Things like that are already listed in this guide. So it's really fascinating to see like how layered a single question on QI is, because it could stretch out to be 15 minutes or it could be done within 2 minutes because some comedian somehow during a bored weekend went Googling and heard this one weird factoid and said it out loud, and then like it stuns everybody because wait, what? And that becomes another part of QI. It's really just, and that even includes the regular general ignorance round. So like, what is a 5-pound note made out of? Everyone assumes paper, but it's really a cotton blend, not paper, because paper is too fragile and can rip apart easily or soak to death easily. Just put it under rain and see what happens. Vaccination was discovered in the early 19th century. Edward Jenner discovered that if you were injected with cowpox, you'd be immune to smallpox. Around 1809, the infant son of the King of Spain died of smallpox, and it was declared that everyone in Spain's colonies in South America must be vaccinated. To get the vaccine to the settlements, which were months away by sea, the Spanish government's solution was to gather a load of orphans, infect them with the vaccine, allowing the blood to develop antibodies and develop an immunity. This technique was so successful it saved hundreds of thousands of lives. Or another favorite, if Schrodinger put a Siamese cat in a fridge, what would happen to it? Well, if you were thinking Schrodinger's cat, which will be it's dead or alive, those are both klaxon answers, because you will figure you will be saying either it's alive, it's dead, or we don't know. Those are all irrelevant, because it's the Siamese cat in a fridge. Because for Siamese cats, their fur has an unusual quality of being temperature sensitive. The warmer core shows white fur, and the cooler extremities are colored by dark fur. So if one were to expose a Siamese cat evenly to cool temperatures over a long period of time, the fur would become evenly black. So the Siamese cat would turn black. And my favorite was in the hypothetical episode that was the ultimate question. I just want to end with these questions on this note. The ultimate hypothetical question, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Because, you know, that's the old joke, the old, like, philosophical question, hypothetical. Which came first, chicken or eggs? Well, if you said chicken, you get the klaxon. The answer is egg. Simply solved in realizing that eggs have been laid for millions of years before chickens even started. So presumably, a species gradually evolves and laid the egg that became, to us, the first chicken. You know, evolution. Look it up, Darwin. That is some of the questions I love about QI. I love the fact that these questions make you feel stupid like Jeopardy, but unlike Jeopardy, it's okay to be wrong because no one ever gets these questions right. They're just really tough and really clever and really smart and make you go, oh, that's right. So now I get to talk about the origin story of QI, huh? QI. All right, so it was created by John Lloyd. This is a guy who I know because of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I'm a big fan of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy book series and television shows and radio dramas. And basically, Lloyd basically made the radio dramas and the TV show adaptation, and it's just a lot of fun. So I enjoy always finding out there's that little parallel with one of my favorite nerdy books with this show that's very nerdy. He also did a lot of panel shows. He did the news quiz, the news headlines. He was, I believe, in charge of the hit of Spinning Image, Black Adder. Have I Got News for You? I think had him for like a while, but that I don't know. I'm gonna probably look it up and be wrong. And I think he also was behind, quote-unquote. He's basically a guy who's a mastermind of a lot of panel shows. So the origin story was that for John Lloyd, he went to a cocktail party, and he realized when he's at a dinner party, there's always that one guy who likes to spew the factoid. They just read it in the newspaper or found out and said, this is something that's quite interesting. Oh, this is something that's quite, oh, that's fun. That's quite interesting. And they thought, what if that was a show? And that was basically the origin of QI. And if you ever check out the Museum of Curiosity, a wonderful podcast, John Lloyd is the professor of ignorance at the University of Buckingham, later Soylent University. Get it? Yay! We're a fictional museum and people bring in things and find something fascinating about it. It's a spinoff of QI. It's not a game show, it's just a talk show, and one wins, and that's something for a later date. And I think nowadays, John Lloyd is now really smart to take this QI concept and expand upon it in podcasts. There was a spinoff show called No Such Thing as the News, which people now know as No Such Thing as a Fish. I think Fish came first before news, but you get the point. The idea is that the elves, these really intelligent people who write all the time on QI, do all this research, are fascinating people themselves and love to discover factoids. And sometimes they don't even fit in the show themselves. They're just really big trivia minds. So where do we go with QI? Well, the appeal of QI and this search for knowledge and ever-loving wisdom is something that's always fascinating with me. One of the things I love about QI is the fact it's okay to be wrong. And while Stephen Fry was in charge of QI in the first half of the show's run, Sandy Topsgig is the one in charge now. Going from Stephen Fry, someone who is your poet laureate, master of intelligence, clearly someone who is well-rounded in a multitude of fields, from comedy to acting to literature to dramas to plays, was something. Now, Sandy She had her run in the news quiz, so she already knows who John Lloyd is. She already knows how to be intelligent, and her wealth of information comes from reading the newspaper and being a bookworm. So Sandy is the new presenter for QI, and it felt weird because I think for a lot of people, it was always Stephen Fry's show, not Sandy's. Sandy, I don't know what is it. She always winds up getting like other people's shows. Sandy got Great British Bake Off when Mel and Sue left. And then she left the Bake Off, I think, because QI is probably a more brand-appropriate show for her. And then we got Matt Lucas on Bake Off. So Sandy, I think she goes for more of a, I would say, a headmaster kind of position. Like someone who might be like a dean of students at a college of some kind. Now, to go to Sandy's world, Sandy did a news quiz. It was a radio podcast. It was a radio show. It's a radio show. And her whole information was basically one of the earliest forms of what kind of became Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on NPR, where it's ripped from the headlines. What happened with Gordon Brown? What happened with Theresa May? All these little quizzes all smushed together. That's what became of a news quiz. Like, hey, what's going on in Downing Street? What's happening in Parliament? Up, 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 joke, joke, joke. And she was really into, she did a children's show called Number 73. She did a lot of those little shows like Motor Mouth. You guys remember Motor Mouth? It was another kid's show from the 90s. It basically was, she was always doing comedy work and was always focused on silly ways to do comedy. She's kind of parallel to Stephen Fry in many ways. She does a lot of dramas and theater plays. She also has a wealth of information, and they're both gay. That's the best way to say it. Stephen Fry, openly gay. Sandy Tofskik, openly gay. Of course, both of them have diverges when it came to their coming out roles. With Stephen Fry, America didn't know who the hell he was. Britain, they went, what? What? No. No! Hey, you're the pride of this country. You're okay. And then they just came to terms and celebrated Stephen Fry. For Sandy, on the other hand, she is, I will say, very progressive. She is a progressive thought process. If Stephen Fry is the just because you're offended doesn't mean you're right quote, which he apologizes for and says that people have taken that out of context to mean emotional quandaries. If you will feel offended, that's okay to be offended because of its emotional output. It really is. If your intention to do harm, don't talk. That's the idea. It's the, if you can't have a conversation with Alan, that was the issue. And that was kind of an issue, and he had to apologize. For Sandy, on the other hand, she is very progressive. She used to be a Labor, then she became Lib Dem. She used to say no party affiliation, and at one point quit the news quiz to start a political party herself, based on women's rights, called the Women's Equality Party. And one of the things that I recall reading about was recently, in March, the Women's Equality Party, which doesn't really have any traction in Parliament, but is Sandy Tofskik's party, is one of the first I can think of that actually acknowledged trans and non-binary people in the UK. Trans and non-binary people are kind of treated like shit, to be honest, in the UK, because, because my joke comedy is just guy in a skirt going, oopie-doo, look at my stockings, ooh. And that's comedy, for British comedy, for 4 decades. And no one really thought, well, that joke kind of sucks, and it's the same joke over and over again, and now we're just going to just keep being provocative and offensive, ooh, because people really want to relive Woodstock 99. So the Women's Equality Party was actually one of the only ones to actually do it, because the UK is fundamentally very transphobic and really crappy and crummy when it comes to this kind of issue. So Sandy, whose status is supposed to be kind of like a Lib Dem, meet in the middle, whatever can get the most women in office and have equal playing field, because that's basically all it is equal playing field for women. Very feminist party, obviously. It's also including trans and non-binary people within its party grounds. But they haven't really, at least any so far, any sort of quote or statement on how they're accepted in the party, just that they are part of the same group because they're all fine for the same civil rights, essentially. So Sandy is on the status of trans rights. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Stephen Fry is transphobic. I'm merely pointing out that Stephen Fry, who worked in the Harry Potter audiobooks and has basically been associated with the Harry Potter franchise for about 2 decades now, really knows J.K. Rowling, and J.K. Rowling is transphobic and is a TERF. Now, I don't think Stephen Fry is transphobic. I honestly believe that Stephen Fry is pro-trans rights and does want to have trans and non-binary people feel accepted and warmth, because obviously if you're a longtime comedian like Stephen Fry, who had a tough time growing up coming out, especially in the UK, you kind of already have the empathy to feel for trans and non-binary people to begin with. It really was, the swing was, again, J.K. Rowling. J.K. Rowling is the main issue here when it comes to Stephen Fry. Now, Stephen Fry, you get your cashola, get your money, I don't care. Sandy, she's trying to fight for women's rights, and there's in two separated columns here, but connected by that same quest for knowledge and inclusion and acceptance, which is why I really love QI in this regard, is that their hosts are well-meaning, intelligent people. They don't really try and go for a goofy, wacky guy in an accent. Ian Sterling would not fit this show. David Mitchell would be good as a contestant, not as the host. David Mitchell's not that smart. Well, Rob Brydon, very funny, great impressionist. I don't buy that he reads an encyclopedia, though. But Sandy and Steven, I do. So, one of my favorite things about QI is that the fact that all of these categories are here, and it was one of my very first panel game shows, because this was, of course, early 2000s. I just had the internet for the first time, and BBC America, I had BBC America when it just sort of launched, and they did like Monty Python, and they were trying to experiment with what shows they put on. So they put like Daytime Weakest Link, and they even put on QI for a moment, before all the copyrights. And it was my first panel show, and I found it very fascinating. Here's this guy giving you fun facts and celebrating just knowledge in this weird auditorium style quiz game. And I thought, this is so fascinating. This is not really a game show. Because the guy thing, I was a kid. I didn't know any better. The only things I knew about was I'm Sorry, I Haven't a Clue in QI. Those were the two. And for QI, it's such an intelligent thing. And I think if it wasn't for that show, I wouldn't have the courage to speak up when it came to classroom discussions. And just say wrong answers and be okay with being wrong. Because I think for a lot of us, when we were in class and getting an education, it's that raise your hand and just you don't want to be wrong, or you don't want to get called on because you might say something stupid. But watching QI and seeing these people say answers that are seemingly obvious and then getting told no and here's why, that opened my area of education to a whole new realm, because I was still in that shelled space of, oh, I don't know if I want to say anything. But because of QI, it's, well, it's not necessarily this, it's because of this, that I actually was able to learn more about history and science in this regard. That actually opened my mind up to be more factual and be okay with being wrong. I think that's the biggest issue we have in hurdles, is this fear of failure. And I won't be honest, I have a fear of failure. But my fear of failure is no one ever saying hi to me, having no friends, and having no talents or creative input to speak of, and basically not being anyone's friend. And I think that would be sad. But fear of failure for most people is, if you get it wrong, oh, I'm stupid, I'll never get anything right, and just that hurtful thought you have. But because of QI, this one game show where the whole idea is it's okay to be wrong because it's funny, even if you don't have anything smart to say, say something silly, and it could actually like lighten the mood. So yeah, that's, I think, what also kind of made me a bit of the class clown in many regards to classroom discussions. Especially in the little middle school, high school years of my life. It's just that ability to just talk and have a conversation. And now some teachers, that's not their goal. They do not want to do that. They want to go straight to, here's the lesson plan. That other teachers, it was really like the one or two facts we need to hammer home. So as long as we're hammering home those facts, let's just keep going. That I really enjoyed. So it is one of those cases of QI having an outstanding meta. Like, I took out what I learned from QI and expanded that in college. So when there was a college lecture and they did the same lesson plan and called the class, no one wants to answer, I would be the one talking, because I would obviously be the one sitting in the front corner. Not the one at the top corner, like the front, when I sit by the teacher, it's the second, not in the center, not in the exact corner, just that second from corner, where it was just talk. Because obviously these professors want to talk, they want to just get to know people. And I thought that was, QI kind of broke that fear. So for me, it was fun. Now, obviously, it would be very annoying because I'm the only one talking, and so is the professor. And yet, no one bothers to raise their hand or get called on, and they're scared. So, I think it really became this facet of information for me. And the thing is, a lot of times, because the show is almost, I hope the show goes all the way to season 26. The big takeaway I love about this show is its quest for information. And I approach the same thing about life and education the same way they do on QI. Feel free to ask questions. Feel free to explore. The thing I love about QI is, even though these are comedians telling jokes, some of the time, the comedians then ask Sandy or Steven a question, and they would actually have the answer to them. Like, so why isn't it this? Well, according to researchers at this university, if you do this, then that happens. It becomes a layered fact within a fact, and that is so cool. That is so awesome. It becomes like a college lecture in the form of a really cool, silly British panel comedy show. And I think that's why I really wanted to talk about this episode, because QI is one of those game shows. Because it's a game show, there's a winner and loser, even though everything's arbitrary and doesn't really matter. It's more of a comedy show, I get it. But the main reason I love this show is you can watch, you could try to play along, but you know you're going to get it wrong. And it's that you take something out of it. You learn something out of it. And not just facts, but just how to be curious, how to put thought and research into these questions, into your own understanding. When we get, like, for a lot of people, when it comes to education, and this is kind of where we're detouring into education, because we went from QI. I just explained it. QI is a show where comedians answer really difficult trivia questions. They screw up, and then the host goes, well, here's why it is. That's the main part of the game. There is no bonus round. There's no real double points, no prizes awarded. There is no prizes awarded. It's just a straightforward quiz game of comedy and laughs. But it's the approach to education that I really wanted to talk about with QI. And I think that is kind of where I wanted to address this for game shows, I suppose. Normally, when it comes to game shows, I suppose, we talk about set dressing. Okay, so set dressing is a giant magnifying glass that looks like a cue, and then there's different things like an algorithm and some Da Vinci artwork, and then there's a little tiny eye to make it look like QI. Get it? Quite interesting. There's two giant video monitors that are early, like, screen-based, not the LED lights that you see on modern game shows, that display images. And they're all, like, changing based on the question. When a klaxon approaches, it just turns black, and then a little white text shows up in, like, an Arial font. It just says the word. And I think that's just so funny. But so simple and yet so funny, because it's the obvious wrong answer. So it's like a shame. Like, shame on you for saying wood for Washington's tea. It's just fun. But yes, it's the educational system that I wanted to address. Because for game shows, I suppose, you could talk about sets. You can talk about hosts. You can talk about different aspects of production. The theme song is composed by Howard Goodall. That's just something I wrote on a little note. I really should probably have worked, but he also did some music for Red Dwarf and Mr. Bean and Blackadder. So, you know, if you watch all those UK game shows, you already know all these comedy shows and all this little silly stuff, that you already hear his iconic music. But it really is just, what do the audience get out of it? That is why I wanted to do this episode. Because very rarely in game shows, I suppose, I can point to a show and say, that's the takeaway. Like Supermarket Sweep, it's brand awareness. That's something you can take from it. For something like a Jeopardy, it's the wealth of knowledge we all share, that we don't know everything. It's that quest for trivia. For Deal or No Deal, it's just human elements and compassion. But for QI, it's that quest for knowledge. It is that thinking. A lot of people who call themselves intellectuals, I find online, aren't smart at all. They're really stupid. They don't go into a conversation looking to get knowledge. They go into a conversation looking for a debate. Debates do not give you information. Debates aren't debates anymore. They're just confrontation where you just nitpick and fight and ad hominem and hypothetical. And that's the internet with really shitty Republicans, really shitty conservatives, and really shitty YouTube podcasters, and basically every think tank that thinks they're smart because they have a debate. Folks, don't watch debates. Don't watch debates. They suck. They're horrible. You don't get any information out of them. And it actually statistically makes you less likely to make the right decision at the end of the day. It turns out that if you actually do a gut check based on your own feeling, rather than the quote-unquote fact that comes from debates, you'll actually be more informed, not less informed. So when it comes to making a right decision, someone, basically the debates will ruin your information. You start having second guesses and then you make the wrong decision. That's basically a too long didn't read version of it. I'm not the host of QI. But debates is not intellectualism. Being smart is not trying to prove your intelligence over someone else. Being intelligent is finding information in things you don't understand because you're curious about the world around you. Rather, it is something oddly specific, like transportation. I see ya. I see ya. Or is it a certain country of interest? Is it a certain sea animal? Is it a certain history of your favorite restaurant, a television show, a history of that? All sorts of these little aspects of knowledge we all kind of crave and want to know more about. And sometimes we have that I don't know and we feel really guilty. So we try to do our best to research things and try to get the information. Obviously, I don't do that all the time. I just go on Google, look up a few wiki pages and hope they're correct, which, as we all know, barely works. You're paying for a guy to read Wikipedia. But what we love about QI and what I love about it is the takeaway is its ability to celebrate knowledge and celebrate curiosity and celebrate our ability to get the quest for intelligence. This is all trivia. It's all meaningless, obviously. But what happens and why it's intelligent and why we pursue knowledge is not the same way as a lot of wonks online. Wonks online pick a fight, want to scream at you, make hypotheticals, say you're wrong. Facts don't care about your feelings as if facts are facts. But what we learn is that facts are based on the research. Research has to be researched as well. So you got to verify the research, find out where it comes from, and deliberate. That is not in the form of a debate. That is in the form of papers and reading. And as I can almost guess, 9 times out of 10, people don't like to read. They like to be told, audiovisual, because that's quicker. They don't want to read a book. Reading the book from beginning to end, it could take days. I want it known in 5 minutes. So here's a quick summary, and it's usually wrongly paraphrased. So what's the takeaway here? What do we get out of knowledge? And QI is that quest for knowledge. Yes, there are just some things that society assumes is true that is not true. That is essentially the cause of QI. It's that Adam ruins everything. Well, actually, it's not really like this if you do this and this and this. It's that level of you want to be more knowledgeable about a certain area because there are dangers associated with certain things. Or because certain propaganda, for instance, in this country, in Britain, we have all of this, we whitewash and clean every historical event. And we don't really go through some of the hardships. For instance, and I'm just going to throw this here because June was Pride Month, we like to talk about same-sex marriage. Because it's ratified. We have same-sex marriage. It's legal in America. We did it. In the UK, we did it. It's good, everyone. It's okay to be gay. No, it's not. No. Because still to this day, you have people who won't hire you for coming out. And you also have lots of groups angry because this is not what a marriage is. A marriage is a man and a woman and not the same sex. And there's still a fight to get rid of the rights for same-sex marriage and protections for people for coming out. Because you're gay, well, the landlord doesn't have to pick you for the to be a tenant for the house. They could say, go fuck yourself, and they're fine. Oh, well, you might give AIDS all over the bed. It's this ignorance that comes with this that is why knowledge is so crucial. Because a lot of prejudice, a lot of inaccuracy, a lot of insecurity comes from people not knowing things, pretending to know things, and then feeling guilty if they're called out or wrong, because then that means they're stupid. And in their mind, they can't ever be wrong. They can't ever admit corrections, because that would make them stupid and fail. That is the issue with education. That's the issue with media. If you notice by now, a lot of media is punditry. It's a lot of thought and think pieces and op-ed. It's not really hard W's. It's not who, what, when, where, why's, and how's. Because you can read all of that, and it's really only going to be three sentences. And that's not good for a 24/7 news cycle. That's not good for social media. That's really not good for anything. And so now it's a what do you think? Well, 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 thoughts? What do you think? And it becomes annoying and arrogant. So when it comes to QI, I see it as the most smart show ever devised. It is the true intellectual show. Despite the fact these are comedians saying really stupid things, there's really smart research that goes into it. There is really smart facts being thrown into this. It is not so much divided by party, but rather factoids. And when you realize that a lot of stuff we know is wrong, it's can you change your mind? Can you change your perception? And that becomes the big deal with QI. When you watch an episode of QI, a lot of the factoids is frivolous, and you might go in going, oh, now I know better. But also, there is this, well, can you remember it the next time around? Because maybe you ignored it. And that is the general ignorance that we have in life. That is why QI, I feel, is the common takeaway. We don't pride ourselves in facts. We don't. We pride ourselves in, what do you think? Opinion. And a lot of times, facts are always more fun and more entertaining and sometimes more incredible than someone's hot take or someone's debate stream. Because the history to get that fact, the research that goes into it, is sometimes way cooler than just, well, I think this happened. Because I think it's just a hypothesis. The hypothesis is the first step in the world of science. Well, hey, how do you know you're right? Verify it with sources. And not that many people do, because not that many people are that bright or intelligent to think that far. You just fart into a microphone and call it a day. For QI, this is a show that farts into a microphone but does not call it a day. No, then they actually explain what the correct answer is and why that fart is actually not a fart. It really is just a bit of flap that pushes a bunch of air because of the gastrointestinal levels as you're trying to go through. QI is the audience's quest for knowledge. It is the host's quest for knowledge. And it is a show that says it's okay to be wrong. It's okay to be wrong. Folks, it's okay to say something and then something new is presented to you and then you can change your mind and be okay. And I don't mean change your mind like that shitty fucking conservative commentator Steven Crowder. That's his name? Crowder, the louder Crowder guy? Fuck that shithead. You know, he's all about the debate bros and then Sam Cedar shows up and then he fucking bolts off. No. His whole gimmick is being the brain from Arthur and then quitting because he didn't get paid enough because socialism or some other bullshit. No. What happens is it is this, I need to debate. Well, debate me, bro. And why would you debate me? There's no intelligence. your intelligence comes from just like looking at National Review and going, well, this guy said so, I mean, I'm right, right? No, because that opinion is an opinion that matches your opinion. You need to get some factual information here. What's the statistics? What is your essay? What are you trying to prove? Because do you have any political science background? Do you have any examples of what happened in other countries? If this whole, you know, socialism is bad and you keep going, well, Venezuela, is there anything that happened in Venezuela that could possibly have happened to this, and why other socialist countries like, say, Sweden or Finland or Holland or all these other countries in Europe, but why they're okay but not this country? Is there anything related to this? What about our countries like, I don't know, in the Middle East? What about ones in South America? What about ones like Canada? It becomes really weird and frustrating and kind of annoying, to be honest. So, to me, I just get frustrated by a lot of this because misinformation gets thrown out. And when you get misinformation, things go blurry and you just kind of go with what sounds simple and nice and sounds good on paper. And when you read a textbook, it's always kind of clean cut and hopefully digestible information that you kind of want to regurgitate in knowledge and schooling. But even then we panic in education. Well, what if you fail a test? Does this mean you're a failure at life? Do you not know how to research? Do you know what this is? No. Because people learn in different behaviors. And QI is one that kind of says it's okay to be wrong. To repeat, the main takeaway with QI is it's okay to be wrong in your pursuit of knowledge. It's okay to think one thing, be presented with new information, and then change your mind. QI is the most intelligent game show ever created. It is a comedy panel show, and it is very arbitrary. However, you go in expecting nothing, and you leave with almost a documentary level length of facts about certain criteria of knowledge you barely knew existed. To me, that is why QI is one of the greatest game shows ever devised, and why I'm sad to see it go in roughly about 8 years or so. I don't know. Are they going to do double seasons in a year? I don't know. They better get working on it. But thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to check out QI. I believe it's on BritBox. I believe it's on Hulu. I believe you can just go on YouTube at this point. It's there. And you will have a fantastic time watching one of the most iconic panel game shows ever devised, learning so much information, and always having a curious mind, having an open mind. Because that's how you excel the most at QI. If your mind is open and your heart is open and you're kind of funny, you can win QI. I don't think I'll ever win QI. I'm pretty stupid. Anyway, that's it. Thanks for watching. Good night. Big smooch. Mwah.